for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a teaching tape on demon troops. This is tape 3 of 4 tapes on demon activity by Reverend W.L. Duncan.
Reading in Mark the 5th chapter and starting with the first verse, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou tormentest me not. And he said unto him, Come out of man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a deep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it to the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. How grateful we are for the wonderful power in the name of Jesus, and that this man that no person was able to tame, this man that no person was able to bind or to help or to do anything, after the Lord had commanded the unclean spirit to go out, many unclean spirits came out in the name of the Lord, and they found this man sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And again, I would like to mention that many of these demon-possessed people, in fact, I will say all of the demon-possessed cases, they are not cases for doctors, they're not the cases for lawyers, they're not the cases for the hospitals, and we are not against doctors. We thank the Lord for the wonderful ministry they have. We're not against hospitals for sicknesses and so forth, but I am speaking of demon-possessed people now. These are not cases for anything in the natural. For the Word of God tells us, and I'm going to turn and read it to you, in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and the 4th and the 5th verses. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. In fact, I'll start with the 4th verse. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not of the flesh, but mighty in God to the pulling down of the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now remember, this is important, that these cases are not the cases for people in the natural, and the only way that demons can be dealt with is for them to be cast out in the name of Jesus. And after the demons have been cast out, it is important for you that have received ministry, for you to move on into spiritual life, for allowing the Spirit of God to move in you and to keep every area filled. This is up to the individual's human spirit. You have to cast down every imagination. You have to cast down every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, many people that are demon-possessed fear that they're not going to be able to walk in victory. As we have mentioned so many times, the flesh is weak. It's impossible to do in the realm of the flesh. But this is where the Spirit of God enters in. This is where you realize that Christ is the hidden treasure and that Christ is within. He's not in some distant place, but He is within your heart and soul. He has come in and He abides there. He has taken up His abode there. And greater is He that is within you than he that is within the world. And as you move on in victory, soon the days will go into weeks and the weeks will go into months. And the months will go into years, and you will be amazed at that which the Lord has done through you and that which you have been able to walk in the walk of the Spirit that the devil has told you would never be possible for you to do. All right, now we go on in. When you are casting out demons, you are speaking to demons and not the person. Now with this man that the Lord dealt with that had the legion of devils, as the Lord was speaking to this man, he was not speaking to the man, but he was speaking to the unclean spirits in that man. Now, this is important for you to remember. When you discern spirits in a person and they come for ministry, it need not bring offense to the person, because when you are speaking to these demons, you are speaking to intelligent beings that will hear you, and they know what you say, and they know the command in the name of the Lord, and so you go far beyond that person, and the person that is demon-possessed should not feel that it brings offense to them, because you are dealing with actual spirits within them. You remember that. And the more people will have this understanding, it will not cause them to be offended. It will not cause them to take a stand against you or against the ministry, because you are speaking to intelligent beings that have been ruling and possessing that person. Then there are several ways that you can discern spirits. Many times you can discern that a person or persons have evil or demon spirits or possessed. And I want to mention this here. Many people say that a Christian cannot be demon possessed, and especially a Christian that has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And as we have taught you in these lessons, it is possible to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost without being filled with the Spirit. A person is not filled with the Spirit until every area has been cleansed and until every part of that person has been filled with the Spirit and the power of God. And that goes back to the areas that were open during a person's time that they were teenagers and older. It goes back to the time that if a person has been born with demons, and you remember the child that was brought to the Lord said, how long has this condition existed? And this father said, from a child. And so it is possible for children to be demon-possessed. Remember that. Because if there have been open areas in mother and dad, the iniquity of the parents are visited upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. So remember that these areas have to be cleansed, the demons have to be cast out, and those areas have to be filled with the Spirit and the power of God. Now, I'd like to mention here again, because this is very important, because this truth is so new to many and it's shocking to many. The Spirit of God will not flow through unclean areas. You cannot travail out unclean demons. You cannot travail out demons. When you move into travail, it breaks up the fallow ground, and it's easier for the individual now, and again I'm speaking of the individual's human spirit, it is easy for them to give vent and allow the demons to go when the fallow ground has been broken up. And for you that have been studying these tapes and including them in your home studies, we're going to move on, and I'm going to include two or three tapes on travail about breaking up the fallow ground, what is accomplished during travail, and what should follow after travail. It is very important that people have the understanding not only of casting out of demons, but how to keep the areas clean and how to keep the areas filled with God. And this is when travail comes in. The word mentions, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. The minute that something bothers you, instead of entertaining that thought for half a minute or a minute, go to your secret closet and allow the Son of God to move in and through you for the expelling of that which has bothered you and for the expelling of that which would be an open area for the demons to come in and to possess your life again. Many times a person can discern demons through the eye. Many times you can tell it exactly by the formation of the mouth and so forth. Many times during a service, the Spirit of God will begin to move and you'll hear the sounding of like, actually like a dog barking. Now I want to mention this. there's one thing that demons desire above everything else, and that is to get attention. When God begins to move in a supernatural way in a service, many times there will be the manifestation of demons. And if people don't understand this, they will focus their attention on those demons that are manifesting instead of moving into a higher realm and allowing the Spirit of God to overrule the powers of the enemy. Now remember, real revival is when actually if people come in, they begin to froth up the mouth, they begin to bark like dogs, they begin to scream. This does not need to bring fear upon you, and people do not need to throw up their hands in horror and say, well, if God is moving, why all of this? Remember, the greater the move of the Holy Ghost, the greater will be the manifestation of the powers of the devil. And the more there is no move of God, the lack of the move of God will create a lack of demonic activity. And actually what it does, it allows these demons just to lie in state and to not be manifested. And this is the reason when God begins to move by His Spirit, demon-possessed people will come in from all over the area. Demon-possessed people will come in from hundreds of miles and yet even for thousands of miles, because just like Legion, they are desiring to worship God. The spirit within them of their own person and the Spirit of the Lord is crying out for help and deliverance. So remember, any time that God begins to move and there's a real stir and there's a real revival that is coming forth, expect demon-possessed people. And when these demon-possessed people come in and be manifested, don't give the devil the attention. I've seen this in service. If we allow this, the service will go down the drain every time. And this is the reason I'm a firm believer, and I teach this every place that we go, to a group on the coast as well as across the country. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And the more that you choose to move into a greater dimension in God when there is a manifestation of demonic activity in the service, it will not give the devil the attention, but the Spirit of God will overrule the powers of the enemy every time. Many times you can discern demons in a person, if you're new and moving in, by a person's breath. Now, I'm not speaking of just halitosis. I'm not speaking of just a person having bad breath because of an upset stomach. But this is altogether in a different line. It's a foul spirit. It's an unclean spirit. It's a stance that only you will know that will come from demons. You can discern demon possession by a person's breath many times. Another thing that you can discern demon possession, a person that is demon possessed will not know how to flow in the realm of the Spirit. If God's Spirit is moving one way, they'll move another way. And many times, as we come in and if we teach over and over participation, and it is important in spiritual activity for the saints to know how to flow in the realm of the Spirit and to participate in the direction that God is moving. If people are victory marching, that is not the time to prophesy. If there's a spirit of prophecy, that isn't the time for somebody to begin to praise God in the dance. If the ministry of the Word is going forth, that is the time that everybody should listen to the Word of God and take instruction and not to close their eyes and begin to sing and to do something else. If the saints are singing in the Spirit, it's a time for everybody to participate and to sing in the Spirit, because remember that the Lord works in unity. And as the Lord works in unity, unity naturally brings forth one accord. And a one accord spirit will bring forth faith, and faith will bring forth miracles. And the more we realize this, the more we move into it, and we will, every one of us, participate in the way that God is moving. This will overrule the power of the enemy. And again, I mentioned here, demons want attention. So if a demon begins to be manifested in a service, you don't necessarily have to stop the entire service to cast out those demons, because you can wait till the after service, and that person can go to the delivery room and be delivered in the name of the Lord. All right, remember, many times as you move into the casting out of demons, the demons will try to hide. And if you're new in the gift of discerning of spirits and you don't know what to do, you can command the demon to name themselves, or you can command the demon to manifest themselves, and don't be afraid when they do, for remember that you are speaking to an intelligent being, and he will have to name himself, or he will have to manifest himself so that you will know what you're dealing with. Don't be afraid to do this. Now, many times, and most of the times, as we've mentioned, and in services, it's easy for the demon-possessed people to allow the demons to come up by coughing or by vomiting. Many times, if there is no manifestation of the Spirit, manifestation of the Spirit, I would like to mention here, if there are no manifestations and the demons come out, this is where faith moves in, and you know by the gift of faith when these demons come out, and also by the gift of discerning of spirits, whether they have left or not, you know that, whether there's any manifestation of coughing or vomiting. It is easier for a person to give vent to these spirits by coughing or by vomiting, but I want to share two or three cases with you and show you that they can come out other ways. In a certain city, there was a lady that had opened up her ears to criticism. She had listened to criticism time and time again, and she thrived on it, hearing all the dirt and the rubbish and the garbage about so many people. And I want to say this to you. If a person will open up and listen to criticism, you are as much a partaker of that critical spirit as a person that is criticizing. A person will not be able to criticize if they cannot find ears to lend that will listen to them as they criticize and backbite and bring division among the body. So this lady had opened up to criticism for a long length of time, and those spirits in her just fed on that. When it came time for her deliverance and for this, the demon of criticism, as well as others to be cast out, you know where the demons came out? They didn't come out by her vomiting, but they came out in the area that was open to listening to all of this garbage, which were the eardrums, and the demons actually came out through the ears. It was a very unpleasant thing. This lady was screaming as though she was going to die. Why? Because it was a very painful thing. In another place, a professor that we had ministered to, a professor that had spent $50,000 on trying to get help in other ways and had received absolutely no help at all, and had come to the place that they absolutely did not know what to do, and the demons had come in because of intelligence. Now, I am not against seminaries. I am not against education, but there is a difference of being intelligent or having or being possessed of intelligent spirit. This professor had opened up to divination and to many other ways and consulting fortune tellers and all other things. And because of it opening up in the area of the brain and the intelligent spirit coming in, when we cast out these demons did not come out through vomiting. These demons did not come out through coughing, but they actually came out through the brain. And as you would put your hand on the brain, you could feel them moving up and down just like something had taken and in the brain cells, and you could feel it from the top of the head up and down. This professor screamed wildly, just like this person's head was going to come off. Why? Because as these demons came out, they hurt this person. Now listen, we had bound the demons so they couldn't cause bloodshed, so they couldn't cause them to tear, but there was a violent reaction in the brain and in the head as these demons came out. Now I can go on and mention many times if people open up areas concerning uncleanness, these demons will come up through the sex organs and so forth, and it's a very painful situation. I realize on these tapes I'm speaking very plainly, but people must realize that if they fool around with demons, that it's no small thing. It's not something that they can just get involved in and something they can walk in out of without receiving deliverance. And remember that demons are out to destroy and kill, and this is a reason that the Word of God tells us that as these you didn't bind the demons, that would take even this child, it would tear him. The demon would try to take this child and throw him into the water and throw him into the fire because he wanted to bring destruction and kill the life before this child was delivered in the name of the Lord. So remember this, a person that opens up areas to demon powers, it is very important to know that they are walking into a serious thing. This is a reason many times, and we've seen this so many times in the last few months, that as we're casting out of demons, as these people begin to vomit, and they vomit violently, there'll be big chunks of things that will come out. And as they cough and cough, many times they begin to vomit up blood. Now, this person has no ailment of the stomach that would cause this, but these demons have destroyed and they've torn a certain amount in this person. And naturally, as these demons come out, there will be blood with it. Why? Because demons are out to destroy and kill. So remember that in the realm of the Spirit, that our weapons are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now again today, I would like to mention, because we're going to consider some on this tape, and there should be several lessons given on this that perhaps we will bring out later, but this will open up your understanding and will cause you to begin to look in the Word of God. And as you look in the Word of God, you will begin to be conscious of this as you hear the newscast, as you hear radio broadcasts, as you read the newspaper. You will begin to be conscious of how demons not only work individually, but they work in troops. Now, I want to say here, in connection with Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and starting with the 10th verse, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, I want you to notice here that he's going to mention about troops. He's going to mention about the way that the demons are organized. For he doesn't say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against demons. But he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers, and that is the world rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness or spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. Now that breaks it up to groups. And as you move on, and as you have an understanding of the Word of God, you realize that you can begin to discern on a far greater scale than just individual demons and persons, for demons are more regimented than the United States Army. They're more organized than the United States Air Force. They're more organized than anything that we could do in the natural, because demons are very intelligent beings. Now, as I mentioned that over and over, it's for a reason. Demons are powerless beings. They have no power except the power that you as an individual will lend them. And you say, well, where do you get the scripture for that? The Word of God tells us that as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died and rose again, He stripped the devil and the demons from hell. He stripped them of all their powers. Now, this was done 1,900 years ago. And so demons are helpless creatures until you as an individual will allow them to come in. And they use your power. Remember that. This is a reason you don't have to fear demons. You can know that they were conquered. You can know that they were stripped of their power and authority 1,900 years ago by the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember, as they are powerless creatures until they will enter into a person, that they are very intelligent beings. And this is a reason the Word of God admonishes us that we must put on the whole armor of God so that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the world. Wiles there, that we may be able to stand against the methods of the devil, because they're intelligent beings. All right, now, demons work in troops. Each troop of demons will have a sergeant. These sergeants will get together and they plan ahead that on a certain day they're going to move their troops in here and around the world, and I'm going to explain that a little later in the tape here. And many times people will say, well, how do you know that? First of all, we know it because of the gift of discerning of spirit. Now, the gift of discernment, and the word discern means to know. We know in the realm of the spirit. I know from the Word of God. You remember, as Daniel prayed, he said that the prayer was not answered and it could not come to pass for 21 days because the prince of Persia had withheld him or had stood against him. And this was a certain prince, this was a certain sergeant that was working in a certain way, and Daniel said, the prince of Persia hath withstood me. Now, there are princes, there are certain princes that will be of devils. There are the prince that will move in, that will be the captain of certain hosts and so forth. And remember this, that the demons are so organized, they work ahead. And this is a reason that the believers must move in the realm of the Spirit. And we can know the Spirit of God can show us by the word of knowledge and by the gift of discerning of spirit how we can know how the devils are going to work on certain days, so that we won't allow them to do that, so that we will recognize and know that whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And when the demons know that you know this, they know that they're bound, because the Word of God says that you have the power to do this. All right, now, as we mentioned, they work in troops. And this is the reason, if the saints or Christians have open areas, and it's the same in the world, that a person can become a partaker of another person's spirit. Many times we can sit and the congregation, and as people will begin to come into the service, you can almost tell who everyone has talked to that day or the persons that they've been with that day, because if they've been with people that have certain spirits, they've become partakers of that person's spirit. Now remember, this cannot be done unless that person has open areas to allow those spirits to come in. This is a reason if people, certain people, get with certain people of unbelief, they're cast down, they're discouraged. These other people, instead of imparting faith and courage and love in the Holy Ghost, they allow these spirits of discouragement to come in. They allow these spirits of oppression to come in. They allow these spirits of discouragement to come in because they actually become partaker of another person's spirit. Remember that if there is a certain spirit in your life and a certain spirit in another person's life, that these spirits will make connection one with another. Now in Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 27th verse, right along this line, the Word of God says, neither give place to the devil. This means to keep every area closed in your life and not to allow any area of your life or any place in your life to be given to the devil. And in John, the 14th chapter and the 30th verse, I'm going to read this because these are the words of the Lord, and it is important that we know this in connection with neither give ye place to the devil. Now, this is where the human spirit comes in. We can cast out demons, and that actually is the easiest part, but the only person that can keep the area closed, that those demons cannot come again and cannot enter again, is the human person, that person. And this is where your human spirit comes in, allowing the Spirit of God to give you grace and strength and courage. Now in John, the 14th chapter and the 30th verse, the Lord said, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and have nothing in me. Now, I want you to notice that. The Lord said, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world, in other words, the devil cometh, and hath nothing in me. This is the place that the saints must come to. For if you allow a place for the devil, that is actually the property of the devil that is in you. And when the devil has property in you, he will come and accuse and accuse and accuse, for he is the accuser of the brethren. And this is the reason that so many people have spirits of condemnation. They have spirits of guilt. They have spirits of confusion. They have spirits of doubt, spirits of unbelief, because they have opened up areas. They have given place to the devil. And when the prince of this world cometh, we are not able to say with the Lord that the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. When you begin to walk in faith, when you are delivered in the name of the Lord, and every area in your life is filled with the Spirit and the power of God, and you can actually say with the Lord, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, you will be free from a spirit of condemnation. You will be free from a spirit of guilt, because actually when the devil will come your way, he will see that there is none of his property in you. And as long as he has a part of himself in you, as long as he has a portion of the property of hell in you, as long as he has a part of disobedience in you, that you have not cast out every imagination, that you have not brought into captivity everything that exalteth itself against God, that you have brought that into the obedience to the mind and to the Spirit of Christ, the devil will accuse you. And for this reason, I say again, people can come to a delivery room and they can say, I want you to cast out a spirit of discouragement. I want you to cast out a spirit of oppression. I want you to cast out a spirit that I feel such darkness all the time. I will not come just against the spirit of oppression or discouragement or darkness, but you must go beyond that, because there is a reason that that person is discouraged. There is a reason that the devil comes and he finds something in him. There is a reason that the devil will come their way. And if the devil comes their way, he will bring accusation against them. And this is a reason that it will open up areas so that person is depressed, until that person is discouraged, until that person does not know which way to turn. So listen, saints of God, the believers are coming to a place that the body of Christ, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming forth as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Now as we move on here concerning troops, there are many troops of demons. And I'm going to explain a few of them here so that you'll see what we're speaking about. Now the sergeant of these troops will get together. The sergeant will tell this troop of a certain demon that we're going to mention. Now there is a sergeant that is over certain unclean spirits. There is a sergeant that is over the deceitful demons. There is a sergeant that is over lying demons. There is a sergeant that is over demons of division. There is a sergeant that is over the demons of anger. There is a sergeant that is over the demons of envy. There is a sergeant that is over the demon of jealousy. And we could go on and on and on and name them. Now, these sergeants will get together, and for days or weeks ahead, they'll begin to plan ahead. And they will say, now, on a certain day, we are going to send you forth into all the world, and I'll start with the truth of unrest and division that brings church splits. America has been cursed with church splits. Listen, saints of God, we don't need another organization. We don't need more organizations. We don't need actually more churches that may floor you, but we need more of these saints that will get together and the churches that will get together and for the denominations that will allow the Spirit of God to rule, to be willing to put out bylaws, to be willing to put out the traditions of the past and to take the Word of God for their bylaws, to put out all of man's program and all of this which has not allowed the church to be delivered, but to put that out and to allow the believers, the simple believers, to move in the name of the Lord and to be delivered and to begin to cast out demons in the name of the Lord. And so these demons will plan ahead, and this is the reason suddenly across America and in other countries, suddenly one believer is against another, the pastor's against the congregation's against the pastor, one board member is against another board member. You know what has happened? This sergeant of church splits will say, on a certain day, on a certain week, I'm going to send my troops out across America and around the world. And those believers that have been sitting there in discontentment, and naturally many times it's not the fault of the believers, because the Lord says, feed my sheep. He said, feed my sheep, and the sheep are longing to be fed today. The sheep want sheep food. They don't want anything less. Listen, we have been feeding in the natural. We have been giving people the bottle and the nipple and so forth, and they're sick and tired of it. It has not brought them to the place of the full maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to be fed the Word. They need to know the Word of God so that they won't have to depend upon you or somebody else, because this is coming to the place that everything that can be shaken is being shaken today, so that your heart will come to the place that is fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and your faith is not shaken because the pastors failed. Your faith is not shaken because the board does not move right. Your faith is not shaken because somebody has come against you. But you say with David, oh God, my heart is fixed upon thee. If you don't remember another thing from this message, you come to the place that you realize that the born-again experience is not just only a personal experience, which that is a very definite personal experience between you and your Lord. For except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But whether you walk on in victory and joy and deliverance, this is a personal experience. This is a personal matter with you and the Lord. And when people say, well, I'm not attending the house of God anymore because I was hurt, and this happened, and so-and-so did something else. Listen, we've all been hurt. Listen, we've all been bruised. If that were the case, we could all be outside of the church. Every saint of God that decides to move on into the things of God, they're going to be rejected. There's going to be the reproach. And many people want to share with Christ in His glory, but very few of even the Pentecostal Christians want to be identified with Christ and in His reproach, in the place that they come of, that they're of no reputation. Listen, you beware when all men speak well of you. The church wants to be spoken well of. Ministers want to be well spoken well of. We want everybody to accept us and to be a good Joe. Those days are over that ministers should be good Joes. The days are over that the church should just be like a club or society. The world has enough clubs and societies to pat people on the back. The church is not called to compete with anyone else, but the church is called to allow where the Lord said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to set
set at liberty those that are bruised. He hath anointed me to heal those and to set and to bring out of captivity those that have been taken into Babylon. And listen, the world church system and even the church system has brought the saints of God into captivity. And we wonder why there's not a song. We wonder why we can't sing the songs of Zion. But thanks be unto the name of the Lord. Many of the saints are taking their harps from off the willow, and the Lord is giving us, and we're being encompassed about with songs of deliverance. Now remember, these are not just the scriptural songs that were written years and years ago, but these are songs that the Lord gives you, a song in the night, and we are encompassed about with songs of deliverance. How we've been encouraged the last few months as we've heard people stand and testify. They were in the valley of darkness. They were in the valley of despair, so demon-possessed, but after deliverance, they have known a joy that they never even knew when they were first saved. They have a joy that they didn't even know when they first received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because they're encompassed about with songs of deliverance. We're going to continue to move on into the gift of discerning of spirits, and also how the demons work by sergeants, how the demons work in truth, how they're so organized. And the more that you realize this, and the more you will allow your spiritual eyes to be open and for your spiritual ears to be open, so that you will not be blinded to the truth, you're going to recognize and know the power of the devil. You're going to know how to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You will know how to draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You will know how to declare with the authority, with the power in the word, that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord of your mind. He is Lord of your spirit. He is Lord of your body. And remember, Jesus Christ desires to be Lord now, and if he's not his Lord now, he's not necessarily going to be Lord just when the trumpet sounds. He's not going to be Lord just because you go by the way of death. He is not going to become Lord then. He must be Lord in your heart and soul now, and Jesus Christ can never be Lord in your entire being until those demons have been cast out, until you have been set free in the name of the Lord, and you shall feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost such as you have never known, because the word is so true. The yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. Nothing will destroy the yoke but the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Praise be unto the name of the Lord.
Reading in James, the third chapter, and starting with the 10th verse, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same time, at the same place, sweet water and bitter? Now, many times, the old school that has taught that it's impossible for Christians to be demon-possessed, that it's impossible, especially for Christians that have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to be demon-possessed, they have challenged me with the scripture in James 3, 10 and 11. So I looked up these scriptures and listened exactly what it says. It says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. I said, this happens. But this is what James said. He said, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Now, I didn't say that they were not, that it hadn't taken place, but it says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not so to be. It is not scriptural for them to be, because out of the same fountain should not proceed blessing and cursing, but it does take place. And then he challenges us by saying that these things ought not so to be. Now, the Bible records show that the rise and the fall in spiritual power of the people of God was marked by the recognition of the existence of the demonical hosts of evil. When the Church of God in the Old Testament and the New Dispensation, the dispensation of the Holy Ghost, was at the highest point of spiritual power, the leaders recognized drastically and dealt drastically with the unveiled forces of Satan, and when at the lowest, they were ignored or allowed to have free course among the people. And again, I would like to mention about that. When there is no move of God, when there is famine, when there is dearth in the land, I'm speaking spiritually now, demonic forces are not recognized. But the greater the move of God, the greater the leaders and the believers will realize the forces of evil that encounter us, and that how we must come against them in the name of the Lord. Now, as we move on into the troops that we have been considering, we considered one, number one, the troops of demons that would move in to bring unrest and division among the body of Christ.
And let me tell you, anything that brings division among the believers is not of God. This is a reason the believers must come to the place that they walk in the light as He is in the light. For if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth from all sin. Now remember this, as we mentioned to you before, a great light can bring light on a subject. It can bring light in a building. But the minute you turn and you go against that light, that which has brought light to you will bring confusion. People that choose to move in the light for a certain time, if they go against that light, it actually brings them into blindness. It brings them into darkness. And God will actually bring them strong delusion that they will believe a lie. Now the devil doesn't do this. It says that God will send them strong delusion that they will believe a lie. Every time you are exposed to the truth, you have a greater responsibility before God to walk in that truth. The more truth we have on something, the more light we have on something, the greater the responsibility is placed upon our shoulders to walk in that light. And when I hear ministers say, well, I understand demons, I understand the casting out of demons, but I'm afraid to move into it because I won't be accepted among denominational people, I won't be accepted by Pentecostal people, I say, God help us. I say, where is the courage that Paul had? Where is the courage that Daniel had? Where is the courage that Elijah had? I say, God, where is the courage that the disciples and the apostles had? Listen, the Lord is looking for leaders today and not just followers. Any person can follow the crowd. But the Spirit of God is moving upon ministers to become leaders today and not to be ashamed of that which God has given by truth. We look back to Martin Luther and we think, well, that was so easy in his day. All right, Lutheranism has been accepted today. But when Martin Luther, the Spirit of God moved upon him, and he declared that just shall live by faith, there was rejection, there was reproach that went with it. But thank God he stood upon it. He wouldn't give in to man. And now it's an accepted message that just shall live by faith. And as we mentioned on one of these other tapes, in the early 1900s, it was very unpopular to speak in other tongues. That a certain group of people stood for it. They were known as a tongue-speaking people. They stood for the revelation that the Lord has given. And every time the truth is restored, and remember that since the time of the Lord, which has been over 1900 years, that over 1,000 years of that period has been known as the Dark Ages. During the Dark Ages, most all truth was lost, and so thereby truth is being restored today, and it is not truth outside of the Word of God. It is truth that is in the Word that was once known. It was lost during the Dark Ages, and truth will continually be restored and to come to light, and the spiritual understanding will be given among the body of Christ until that which is perfect has come, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I must mention here for the many that this is new to, that revelation is a revelation of that which is already in the Word. It's that is in the Word that we haven't understood because of blindness and darkness that has come upon us and because the traditions of man make null and void the Word of God. Again, I must mention here that theology is not truth. Theology is a study about God. Theology can be a study about the Holy Spirit. Theology can be a study about the Word. But theology is not necessarily truth. Truth is reality, and reality will bring forth a victorious Christian life and the touch of God in every heart and soul. Now, as we consider here, in the first group of demons that is going, that we're considering here, and that is to bring division among the believers. Number two, many times you'll start to read that in New York City, teenagers will start a riot in the schools. This doesn't stop in New York Sunday. We read about the same day or the same week. It's happening in Miami. It's happening in Chicago. It's happening in Los Angeles. It's happening in Seattle. And in Norway and Sweden, where teenagers have been in obedience to the parents and they've never known riots to happen, suddenly there seems to be a spirit, and it is a spirit of rioting around the world among teenagers. Now you must realize that this has been planned days ahead by these sergeants. It has been planned days ahead, and these sergeants will tell the troop of demons of rioting. They'll say, now, certain days, I'm going to send the troop out. I'm going to move you into New York City. This spirit is going to spread into Chicago, into the Northwest, into the Southwest. down into the south. We're going to move on over into Europe. We're going to move on over into Japan. Now, this is a troop of demons that has been organized, and it's been they've been told what they're going to do days and weeks ahead. And saints of God, when you begin to first of all to hear about a riot in a certain place, you go to your prayer closet and you bind that troop of riot demons. You have the power to do that in the name of the Lord. The more you move into this, the more you're going to realize you can say, well, God, you do it. God, don't let this happen, and God, don't let that happen. The Lord said, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. He said, greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father. And the responsibility now is not upon God to do it, because you can pray and fast until you're blue in the face, and the Lord says that you have power to do it. The believers must understand this by revelation. This is the reason I'm repeating it over and over and over again in these studies, because you must receive enlightenment upon it. And remember, your natural ears will not receive this until we come to the place, like John the Revelator wrote in Revelation, as he was speaking to the churches, every time he ended by saying to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And the Lord will have a group of people in these days that will not just listen to man. They will not be bogged down to denomination. They will not even be tied down to a spirit of Pentecostalism, but they will come to the place that they know the Spirit of God, and they will hear what the Spirit saith them to the churches, and the saints are coming to the place that the saints are led and not driven. And anytime you're driven, this is not the power of God, because sons of God are led by the Spirit. The more we walk in this, we know the still small voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are not in confusion, because we are not listening to many spirits, but we are hearing what the Spirit saith unto the churches. All right, number three. Many times there will be teenagers that will rise up here. They'll rise up there. And I'm not just speaking in the schools now. It goes beyond that level. We've read about it in Miami. We've read about it in small places. We've read about it in other places. This is a certain troop that will move in, not only in the schools to cause rebellion against the teachers, to cause rebellion against authority, to cause rebellion against others, but it moved in a greater realm, that the many hundreds of thousands of teenagers will get together. They will not respect the laws of the land. They will rebel against policemen, and actually it's to get attention on the world. Now, this not only happens if you will watch this just in one city, but if you will notice when it breaks out in one city, it will break out in the most unlikely places, because this is another sergeant of a certain troop of rioting demons that have said, on a certain day, a certain week, we're not only going to move in across the United States, we're going to move into China, we're going to move into India, we're going to move into Africa, and these demons move in among these teenagers, and this is the reason it's almost impossible for the law to do anything about it, because it's not something that they're trying to control in the realm of the flesh, but this is in the realm of the Spirit, and this is where we must realize that our weapons are not carnal, but our weapons are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, saints of God, you must hear me here. There are certain cities in the United States that have actually become Satan's seat. There are certain places in other countries that we've been that they've actually become a seat of Satan. He sets up an organized troop here. He sets up captains there that will direct these demons to move this way and that way. But we're coming to the place, and I want to mention again here, that communism is not going to rule the world. The devil is not going to rule the world. Demons are not going to rule the world. But there's going to come forth a group of believers that will recognize that the Spirit of God will be manifested in and through them, and they're going to drive back the forces of the enemy, and the Spirit of the Lord is going to move upon us, and Christ is going to come for a kingdom that is set up, because the believers have recognized that they have power to do this in Jesus' name. And again, I would like to mention here, and this shocks many, especially among the Pentecostal group, that when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you actually receive of the ability of God. Now, this is more than a blessing. I thank God for the blessings of Pentecost. I thank God for the blessing of the restoring of all things. But a move of God goes far beyond a blessing. It moves into ministry. And when it moves into ministry, naturally, there's a blessing that goes with it. But if you just get the blessing and not receive ministry, it's not going to be a very long-lasting thing. Many groups have known blessings for years, but thank God ministries have come forth in the Holy Ghost. And the more you see this by revelation, it is not only the nine gifts of the Spirit that are being manifested through the believers, but the nine gifts of the Spirit have actually become ministries that edify and minister to the body of Christ. Now, there's a difference. I thank God for years for tongues and interpretation and prophecy that have been manifested. And these other gifts that we have considered and will move on more and more in the teaching that you'll have the understanding. But recognize that as you walk and move in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, as you allow God to operate and manifest in and through you 24 hours a day and 7 days a week, when you come to the house of God, it is not that just a tongues message comes forth. It is not that there's just an interpretation that comes forth. It's not that there's just a prophecy that comes forth, but the gift ministries, as they are manifested through the body, they are actually ministering gifts to the body of Christ for the perfecting of the saints. And as we have considered not only the nine gifts of the Spirit in operation, but the five gift ministries to the body of Christ, the gift ministry of the apostle, of the prophet, the teacher, the evangelist, and the pastor, and these five gift ministries are given for the perfecting of the saints. Now, hear me when I say this now. The body of Christ will continue to be lopsided as long as we just allow the gift ministry of the pastor, which is important, the gift ministry of the teacher, which we must have, because there must be the understanding of the word, and that's the reason in our meetings we not only have much spiritual activity, thank God for the spiritual activity, but along with the power, the demonstration of the Spirit of God, we have hours of teaching of the word, of instructing in the word, because this is the ministry of the teacher, but the church will be lopsided until there is a ministry of the prophet, and the ministry of the prophet is to forewarn the people of coming judgment that is to come. And after the warning is given of judgment to come, the saints will know how to move into their secret closet, and on behalf of the church, on behalf of the people of the world, they will intercede before God. In 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Listen, there's such pride and hypocrisy that have moved into the body of believers, even Pentecostal believers. It's hard for them to humble themselves. A move of God is hard on the flesh any time. The Spirit of God is not out to pamper your flesh. The Spirit of God is not out to please my flesh. The move of God will bring the flesh and pride low every time. And this is a reason many times when God begins to move, people will say, well, do we have to be known as holy rollers? Do we have to be known as holy jumpers? Do we have to be known as this? Do we have to be known as that? Listen, the move of God takes out that pride in your life. And if it doesn't, it's not a genuine move of the Holy Ghost. A move of the Holy Ghost makes you big in God. It makes you more concerned just about your little puny self. It makes you more concerned about your family that God has given you. It even goes beyond the realm of the four walls of your church. It goes beyond the realm of your denomination of just building up an earthly kingdom that man will get the glory. It is not a real genuine move of the Holy Ghost unless it goes beyond the bounds of your own needs, the bounds of your family, unless it goes beyond the limitations of the church that you have sat in for years and years, unless it goes beyond the realm of your denomination that we've been trying to build up such a big denomination, and we think that God is so pleased with this because we're increased with goods and we feel that we have need of nothing. I want to tell you, beautiful carpets will never deliver anybody. Great big new churches will never deliver anybody unless there's a power that is going forth in the name of the Lord. And to the group, the Lord that said this, he said, when you say that you have need of nothing, he said, you're wretched. He said, you're blind. He said, you're naked. The more we have of the earthly, the more many times we think, the less we need of God. The more we have of this material and the earthly good, the more we need God, because that which we have built up, that which we have put in barns, that which we think that we're going to build up for the rainy day, that can be changed overnight. I heard a lady testify this week. She said she and her husband had worked and worked and worked for years. years for things that are material. But about 5 weeks ago, her husband was taken suddenly with a heart attack, passed away before they hardly had a chance to pray. And she said the other night, she said, "Let me tell you," she said, "none of that means anything to me now." She says, "My world has been completely upset." Listen, saints of God, I say this, that we can build and work for the natural. Let one of the loved ones being taken away, use that which God has blessed you with for the cause of the kingdom of God. Enjoy that which God has given you. You enjoy your wife. You wives, enjoy your husband. You enjoy your children. Don't save all of that and become so stingy that you're afraid to let something go because you're going to save it for some future day, because your world can be upset in a second time. And that which you have built for and that you have sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then those other things will amount to nothing to you. But the abundant life in Christ comes in seeking first the kingdom of God. And if we seek first the kingdom of God, and then the Lord bless us with these things, our hearts are not on those other things to begin with, because we have sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all of these things shall be added unto you. When it's been put the other way, if our hearts have been upon our jobs, if our hearts have been upon our family, if our hearts have been upon our savings account, then when these things are taken from us, our faith is shaken. But our faith is not shaken if our hearts are in the right place to begin with, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, number four. I'm going to speak upon the sergeant and the troop of demons that will bring in, that will come into the home to bring chaos and divorces and killing and even divisions among family. A few years ago, it was almost, you almost never heard the phrase, which I'm hearing so many times from parents. I'm hearing it from the children. Parents will say, "I cannot communicate with my children. I cannot get through to them." A number of years ago, you ever hardly heard that. Parents, mothers, and dads knew how to fellowship and to communicate with their children. The children were very close to mothers and dads, and there was communication. You know what I'm speaking of. But so many times, mothers and dads and even ministers are coming to me, and they'll say, "There's such a block, I can't get through to my little daughter." And I'm not speaking of teenagers. I'm speaking of small children. They'll say, "I cannot get through to this boy. I cannot get through to this girl." Listen, that is demonic, and we must recognize it. The strength of a nation is built on the home. And the troop of demons that have come that to separate parents from children and children from parents and loved ones from loved ones, that is a troop from the pit of hell, and we must bind that in the name of the Lord. It's God's intention that the husband and wife will be close together. And many times I'm hearing this, the husband will say, "I cannot communicate with my wife." Or the wife will say, "I cannot fellowship with my husband." I'll tell you, this is nothing but a troop from the pit of hell, and we must bind this in the name of the Lord. You mothers and dads that are listening to me, listen, from the time that your children have been born, you keep close fellowship with them. Every service, I'm encouraging teenagers and young children, when they are faced with problems, not to feel that if they come to you as a mother or dad with a thought on something, that they will feel that you're going to feel they're evil because you ask them, they ask you a question, but there will be the close fellowship. And if they will come and accept and take advice from mother and dad, many of these youngsters are not going to land up in trouble. Many of them are not going to land up with such critical situations that they're in today because they've got their advice in a wholesome way. I admonish you, I encourage you to tell your children, not wait till they're 16 or 18, but you have close fellowship and you communicate with them. Be an encouragement to them. Don't you take time to minister to everyone else and allow your own family to go down the drain. Many times as leaders, as ministers of the gospel, we can get so busy ministering to everyone else that our own families are neglected. And it's no wonder many times that ministers' children will grow up with harshness. All they can think of is the telephone ringing and people being taken up with everything, that if they ask you a question, that these children are shoved aside and we feel that we don't have time for them. It's important that you fellowship with your family. It's important that we allow our families to flow together in the realm of the Spirit and in the things of God. And if we do this, we can expect our children to grow up to love the Lord, to move into to the things of God and actually to enjoy being a Christian instead of feeling that it's a duty, instead of feeling that they have to sit through a dry service, instead of feeling that they have to sit through a long devotional services at home on things that they don't understand. In your family or at home, have it a joyous thing, not a long drawn out thing that the children rebel against. And listen, if there's not rebellion in mother and dad, there will not likely be rebellion among the children. And as you keep this communication and the fellowship open in your family, it will cause the Spirit of God to move and flow in and through you. And we're going to reproduce after our kind, and that will be in joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. All right, let's go on to the next truth that I want to bring to your understanding here. Now, as I mentioned these things, you look back upon certain days that you read in newspapers that these things happened. You'll be very conscious of this in the daily news, and you'll know how to discern the truth that is operating that day. We can remember that there are certain days or certain weeks that suddenly, in a detention home out in the state of Washington, suddenly there was a breaking out. Suddenly, there were certain of the guards that were killed, and these youngsters and teenagers in a detention home, they started a riot. They wanted to break out. This didn't happen just in the state of Washington, but it carries on back into the state of Nebraska, into Wyoming, into North Dakota, into other places that we've never heard of there being a breakout in detention homes. It goes even abroad in detention homes. You know what this is? This has been planned days and weeks ahead. And the sergeant of this troop said, now, a certain day, we're going to move into these detention homes, and we're going to cause an unrest, we're going to cause mass murders, we're going to cause, it's going to bring discontentment. When you read about this and you hear about it happen in one place, immediately you go to your prayer closet and you bind those demons, that troop of demons that has moved in these detention homes to bring chaos across America and around the world, and you have power to do it. Now the same thing happens among the penitentiary. Suddenly and for several months there will seemingly be peace in penitentiary, but suddenly we will hear of the convicts becoming very discontented. We will hear about that they've killed a certain guard. This happens maybe in a small place, and then it goes on to a larger city, and this troop of demons, the sergeant of demons, this has been planned months ahead, and he said to this troop of demons, now I'm going to put a certain amount of you demons in this place. I'm going to have another certain amount of demons in this place. I'm going to have another troop of demons in another state. I'm going to have another troop of demons here and another troop of demons there. And he said, on the certain day, he said, the word will be go, and when the sergeant tells them, there they will move in among the convicts. They'll move in among the penitentiaries, and they'll start to break out, and there's nothing but chaos. There's killing, there's division, fear sweeps over the nationwide, because this is not in the realm of the natural. This is not in the realm of flesh and blood, but this is in the realm of the spirit. And the more we move into this, we will realize that these are not cases for the law, but these are cases for the saints of God who believe this, saints of God who allow the Spirit of God to minister through them, saints of God who will take time from their busy schedule. And I want to tell you, churches today, our time is so busy that I would say that 90% of that which we call ministry is not ministry. Many of those wasted telephone calls, many of that, much of that time that is spent in just being a good Joe, many of those things that we're saying, oh, what are we going to do to keep the teenagers? We have organized bowling games. We have organized roller skating rinks. We have organized everything in the natural to think that we're going to keep the young people. I know that we've organized swimming groups and everything else. Listen, the world has that to offer. The schools have that to offer. The church is not called, again, I will say here, to compete with the world. When we were building a new church in a certain place, there was a full gospel minister said to me, oh, if you'll build your annex just a little larger, he said, it'll be big enough for a gymnasium. I said, I'm not building a gymnasium. I said, I'm building a house of God. Listen, many of our, even our Pentecostal churches, we are building gymnasium. We are substituting everything for the power of God. You may bring all of that into the church, but let me tell you, just because you're bringing it into the church and the young people are participating in it, that is not causing them to walk a walk of victory. The church is called to do one thing, and that is to preach the Word of God. The church is called to do one thing, and that is allow the Holy Spirit to move in and through us for the cleansing of the temple. And may I say it again here, I have never known a day in my life, I've never known a time in my life that there's been such a cleansing of the temple through the ministry of travail, through the ministry of casting out of demons, through the joy of the Lord that is being restored to the body of Christ. Listen, the young people will respond to the move of God as quick as adults. I have had pastors say to me lately, they said, I don't know what I'm going to do with our teenagers. Why, our teenagers are sitting in the back of the church, they're chewing gum, they're holding hands, they're parked in the back of the church, they're making love. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. Listen, you can get together and have board meetings and see what you're going to do about it. You can have all the board meetings you please. You can have all the dinners for them you please. You can have all the parties for them you please. But this will never bring them the deliverance that they know in the Lord. And in meetings across the country, people that have been in the meetings will testify to this. We do not allow the young people to sit in the rear of the church and to make confusion. They're up in the front rows of the church, moving in, participating, dancing before God in the victory marches. Many of these young people are moving in with me to the casting out of demons and in travail. I'll tell you, it works among the young people as well as it does the adults. I have never, as in my life, known as many children that have come to the delivery room and they said, I have a spirit of rebellion against mom and dad. I don't want to mind. I don't want to obey. These children respond to the move of God. They have more spiritual understanding, even at 2 or 3 years old, than you will ever realize. I've seen the Spirit of God move upon these little children until they're slain and the power of tears begin to flow. And these young people have gone into travail and they said, I want the Spirit of the Lord. I want the Son of God to travail out in me anger and resentment against mother and dad. Listen, this is going to keep those children from the world. Listen, this is going to keep those teenagers from the world. It's going to cause them to move in and to be strong in the faith like Daniel of old. It's going to cause them to be Timothy's. It's going to cause them to be Paul's, and because they are set aside by the Holy Ghost and not by man. All right, another group of demons that I want us to consider, and that is the troop of suicide demons. Many Christians today are possessed of suicide demons. It was hardly known a number of years ago. And again, I want to say here, if the devil, and when he plans it ahead, now he'll say, I'm going to send out a troop of suicide demons. We will get a key figure that is known around the world to commit suicide. And when this key figure commits suicide, the word will get out about it. And these suicide demons that are operating, they say, now you move into this Christian that is despondent. You move into this Christian that has my property in them. You move into this Christian that is so despondent. You move into this Christian that has not been able to walk a victorious Christian life. And you say to them, you've tried and failed. It's impossible for you to walk in victory. So you cause them to go out and hang themselves. You cause them to go out and jump over some big bridge. You cause them to take an overdose of sleeping pills. You cause them to do something else. And listen, saints of God, as I minister in a meeting last night, this is a reason even among teenagers that was never heard of a few years ago, 13 years old, 15 years old, mothers and fathers who love their families, actually they leave a note, they're found dead, they committed suicide. Why? Because the sergeant of the suicide demon said, on a certain day, at a certain time, we're going to move in, and suddenly it will go like a chain around the world, and you hear of people from every age group committing suicide because of the sergeant of suicide demons that let them out. This goes far beyond that. It goes into the realm of homosexual demons. The sergeant of the homosexual demon. And I want to tell you this. I had a group tell me not long ago. They said among the world of homosexualism, they said we are the greatest organized force in the world. Now listen to that. They said we are the greatest organized force in the world. Many of these young men have said to me at 20 and 25 years old, they said if we would have known this and been warned of this, and most of these young men were from our churches across America, even Pentecostal churches across America that are bound in this kingdom of darkness, and if there was ever a kingdom of darkness is in the homosexual world. And there's such a few that will bring deliverance to them. A few that will have anything to do with them. Listen, unless you move in and bring deliverance to them, there is nothing that destroys the mind quicker than homosexualism. There is nothing that destroys the mind quicker than this spirit that I'm speaking about here. It destroys the thinking. It destroys the mind. It destroys the thinking of a person because it is so contrary to the Word of God. And I've heard even ministers say, well, don't you think you're going to have to teach the people to live with this? You cannot teach the people to live with something that is contrary to the Word of God. We can try to put the okay on it, and they can try to get acceptance in the world as long as they want to, but this thing will never be accepted because it's against the laws of God, and God will never bless something that is contrary to the Word of God. Oh, that God may give us men and women of boldness and power, that God may give us ministers of the gospel, missionaries and evangelists who will not be afraid to preach the Word of God, that we will begin to preach against these things and uncover that which is in the house of God, because these men are miserable, and there's a greatest rate of suicide and of taking their own lives among this group than any others. And the reason the Word of God tells us in Romans, the first chapter, that they are turned over by God to a reprobate mind. Now, not by the devil, because there are certain things, if you go against the laws of God, it's not the devil that will turn you over to a reprobate mind, but God turns a person over to a reprobate mind and even to a spirit of blindness that they don't even understand what they're doing. And that's the reason that many that are mixed up in this kingdom of darkness, they lose all identity. They don't care about character. They don't care about personality. They lose the desire to work. They lose the desire to think. They lose that intelligence that God has given them, because I'll tell you, they've been turned over to a reprobate mind. Oh, that God might stir us, that the Spirit of God might move upon us and take us out of the spirit of lethargy, that we might move out of the ease in Zion. Many of the church people are sitting by. They don't even know what these words mean. They're not even conscious what is going on among their own family. I've seen Pentecostal families that have been saved for years, that this has been going on in their children, in their sons, and in their family, and after it's come forth and has been revealed, they say, well, I didn't know it at all. Where have we been? God, open our spiritual eyes. God, open our spiritual ears. May we as parents be very careful to guard against these things in our own family. And the minute we discern it, not just to let it go on, but to bring deliverance to them and to cast these demons out in the name of the Lord. Listen, the Lord has called us to a battle, and we realize that we're on a battle front for our God, that we battle not against flesh and blood, that these things are in the realm of the Spirit. And if we're going to want these children to walk of victory when they're 16 and 18 and 25 years old, if we're going to want them to be men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom set aside by the power of God, this is going to have to come from the home. This is going to have to come from the house of God. Let's quit piddling around. Let's quit patting each other on the back. Let's quit trying to be big Joes when it comes to the things of God. But let's begin to realize that when we have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we possess of the ability of God, that the nine gifts are resident at all times, and He worketh all the nine gifts of the Spirit in all who have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that the manifestation of the Spirit of God is given to every man to profit withal. If the church ever needed to move into the gift of discerning of spirits, you need to move into the gift of discerning of spirits so that you and your children and your grandchildren will not walk into the pitfalls and into the snares of the devil, but that they might be surrounded by the love of the Lord and guardian angels, that they might be girt about with truth, that the Word of God might be hidden in their heart, that they might not sin against God.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.